meeting to order. This would be a good time to turn off any cell phones, put them on silent. We'll start off this morning with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's take note that the Commissioner Gilman won't make it today. He's still recovering from his back surgery. I saw him last Thursday at the Tourism Commission meeting, and he still can't sit for long periods of time, so he'll be out today. And I think I mentioned that at the last meeting, but we'll be back until our meeting in late March. So, let's see here. Move on to item three, the discussion of possible action. Approval of the agenda for today, February the 18th, 2014.
Mr. Chairman, we need to pull item 11 and 12.
Okay, the 11 and 12, this is the approval of the allocation of the catalyst funds between the Governor's Office of Economic Development. Yeah, they've asked for some more time to resubmit this to the Governor's Office, and we'll come back. I think this is asked to be continued indefinitely.
Yeah, there'll probably be some other changes and things like that.
Okay.
11 and 12. Thank you.
Anyone else have anything? Mark?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Mark Joseph Phillips, a resident of Virginia City. Well, we're at the commissioner meeting today, February 18th, Tuesday morning, 10 a.m. This is a discussion before today's agenda is approved. Commissioners, under the consent agenda, I sure would like to have some discussion on item number 6 and item number 7. Claims to be approved, and there's something on the Treasury report I'd like to talk about. And item number 13, there in the agenda and in the supporting documents, there's no dollar amount for this Pringle selection. I do think the dollar amount should be reflected either in the agenda or in the packet. Thank you.
You can talk about 13 when we get there. So did you want to talk about 6 and 7 separately?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
All right. Motion to approve then. Pulling item 6 and item 7 out for special discussion.
I'll second that. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Item 4, discussion of possible action, the approval of the minutes for January the 21st, 2014. Anybody have anything on that?
Oh, one hand going up, two hands going up.
Okay. Mark?
Thanks again. Commissioners, in regards to, you know, discussion before these minutes are approved, first of all, I'd like to compliment the county clerk and her deputies for doing a great job on the minutes. It really would be nitpicking for me to come up at the last minute and bring up something I thought was not right with the minutes of the meeting. Sometimes I try to get my concerns in early. Yesterday was a holiday. In regards to the minutes of January 21st, 2014, my biggest concern is item number 13. Which starts on page 7. Okay, there's Nothing. There's no information here about assessor parcel numbers. These addresses, street addresses, are arbitrary. I know in the packet there was assessor parcel numbers. These four lot numbers are not much information to go by as far as an agreement to buy. There's a couple parcel numbers, if I'm not mistaken, but like four house addresses. The addresses don't refer to the vacant property in the back. I'd be a lot more comfortable if the minutes of the meeting reflected the assessor parcel numbers involved in.
Thank you. Ms. House?
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Janet House. I'd like to bring to the minutes on the public comments that I was mentioning about responding about Lance Gil, Commissioner Gilman's comment, and I did indicate it of the people, but in the minute it does not state Pat Whedon. It state commissioner, which I don't think, I strongly believe that I didn't mention about the commissioner retirement. I mentioned about Pat Whedon retirement. This is one of the corrections. And second thing is that on the properties that he was selling, I did not mention saying that here is quoted Janet House wonder if the tenants have been offered the opportunity to buy the property. Yes, I did that, but I didn't mention help in moving. Thank you. I just like to correct it.
Okay. Anyone else have any comments on the minutes of January 21st? Motion for approval?
Motion to approve January 21st minutes.
I'll second that. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Great. Item 5, the discussion of possible action on approval of the minutes for February the 4th. I'd like to continue that until the next meeting. There's some corrections in there that need to be done, and I'd instead of going through those line by line, I'd rather just have a clean set of minutes going forward. Okay.
So motion to continue item number 5 to our meeting in March.
Will that work? Okay. I'll second that. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Let's see. Oh, I'm sorry, Gunther, I didn't see you. Come on up.
I did notice on the, my name's Gunther Prosser from the River District, and I noticed that that you're continuing this because if there are some errors on who said what, because Mr. Gilman was not here at that meeting,
right.
But he's referred to many times in these minutes. And then I also would like to ask for the second point is there's a statement made by Pat Whitten. I was not here when the statement was made, but in the minutes it reads, Pat Whitten said that Dave is correct on much of what he's saying, but when fees were collected and interest is said is a bit more complex than going back just to 1992. When you brought this to us in 2010, we dedicated the park funds and had four line items, so we are complicit except for perhaps the interest. My question is I know that you put the four parks in subtotal groups, but I have been here year after year trying to get the totals to that. So this sounds like nobody has ever tried to follow up on what money is allocated to which park. And I just want to make sure that the board is aware of that.
Point taken, and that is being worked on as we speak.
Very good.
It's not swept underneath the rug. And so,
yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you very, very much.
Okay, so next item up is the consent agenda. So what do we have on the consent?
Okay. Item 6.
Okay, 6 and 7 we're going to
looked through separately, so. So we hear 6 and 7 and then go approval of the consent agenda? Or do you want to do approval of the consent agenda first and go back to 6 and 7?
Go ahead and just do 6 and 7.
Okay. Let's go ahead and hear 6. Possible action approval of the payroll check date, 01-31-14. Mark, you had an issue with this?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. While going through the claims to be approved today, I got to the very last page, and I came across something interesting. So I wrote up an email yesterday and got it filed at the clerk's office today, and it's in regards to the official map of Gold Hill has been restored in transaction number 681, check number 77991, check amount $2,500, and that's being approved today. So I request within 5 working days from the clerk's office a written notice of a date and time that I may observe, and also copy this public record. And I understand that a copy of a map this size is a large digital file. I would be required to provide the USB device at my expense. And I would expect that this map would have been digitally scanned / photographed as part of the restoration process. So, commissioners, I'm hoping that you'll help me. I'm interested in this map. I don't know who will have the legal and physical custody of it, but I sure would like a look at it and in a digital copy. Thank you.
What does that have to do with item 6?
Mr. Osborne, do you want to respond to this?
Mr. Chairman, I can respond if you like at a better part of the agenda. Otherwise, I'll go ahead and respond.
Bring it up later.
Yeah, later's good. And my other concern is there's a claim, once again, there's a claim for liquid blue. There's no public record.
The, under number 6 or number 6?
This is item number 6. There's a claim, one more claim for liquid blue, and public record does not show that the liquid blue contract was ever approved. That once again, there's a claim by somebody who has no authority on record to, no record of liquid blue.
As I mentioned before, those come from the Tourism Commission.
Yeah,
but we simply approve the payments. We don't approve the contracts. We only approve the payments that are directed to us from the Tourism Commission.
Well, have a talk with your comptroller. Why would he give you a claim for your approval with no authority to make that claim? I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Want to move on to number 7?
Sure, item number 7.
Anybody else have anything on number 6 before Mark continues? Janice, come on up. Pardon me. Take a seat.
Thank you again. Janet Houts. I'd like to know, is there a procedures that the public members can understand how the procedures of this payment approval that the commissioners and the other departments submitted to the for payment? Are you lost?
I don't think I understand your question.
Okay. I'd like to have the procedures from the invoices that is submitted or that's been given to provided services to the payment, approving the payment. So what are the steps? What are the steps and who are authorizing it? So I'd like to have these documentations.
Okay, but do you have anything that has to do with item 6?
Item 6 is the Treasury Department, Treasurer. Sorry, payment of checks.
Yeah, do you have any problem with the payment of the checks today?
I'd like to know the procedures.
Well, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about payment of the checks.
Is the payment of the checks?
Let me suggest to you that you contract the comptroller's office, and they'll give you direction on how everything goes start to finish. Okay?
I did that. And I have, that was a few, last years, and I have not received any response on that basis. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, now on to item seven.
Thanks again.
Okay. One moment. Okay. And a motion to approve item number six?
Yeah. Motion to approve item six.
I'll second that. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Mr. Phillips, can you move on to number seven, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In reviewing the Treasury report for January 2014, one thing caught my eye here. There's been a lot of talk about the sheriff's jail fund, but looking at this treasurer's report for the end of January, that would be fund number 210. Now we have sheriff's jail building fund. Now we got a jail fund turning into a jail building fund. So is this an attempt to clarify, well, what the fund actually is, and how can this fund have a new name all of a sudden? Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
There's Dale's hands on that.
Come on up, Mr. Beach.
Okay.
Number seven. We're on number seven.
That was a joke, Mr. Chairman. For Christ's sake, I know who I am.
Sure about that?
I thought I was a DA when I woke up this morning, so I just parked out in the street out where no place else to park. Anyway, let's talk about the jail fund. The jail fund started out to be a building fund. That money was just supposed to stack up there so they could build that jail higher and wider. Our new sheriff come online and didn't think he needed all that new room. And I think that's when I've been fighting this for over 2 years. This jail fund, the quicker you guys can move second and carry, there's no more jail fund, the happier I'll be.
Thank you very much. Anybody else on item seven?
Okay. No.
Motion.
Okay, motion to approve item number seven.
I'll second that. All in favor signify by saying aye. Thank you, carry. Item eight is the balance of the consent agenda. Move for approval of the consent agenda.
Okay. Any questions on the remainder? And motion to approve remainder of the consent agenda.
I'll second that. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, item nine. Committee. Staff reports. Who wants to start today, Debbie? You want to start?
Yeah.
Ms. Redmond? Planning?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I went to the pictometry conference last week, and I was able to attend some one-on-one training with a pictometry expert. That was very helpful, and I also attended several lectures that were informative. It was a good team-building experience, too, because there were several other staff members that went. Staff visited the property owner and specifically for the Mark Twain nuisance on Prospector. And specifically asked if he was buying and selling anything, and he stated he was not, and he had just finished moving his possessions from his former property to this one. He further explained that he had everything laid out, and he was getting ready to get rid of some of those things and clean up and organize his property. So he might have a yard sale or a garage sale or something like that. He assured staff that he plans to get rid of a lot of stuff, build a garage, and get his place cleaned up. So staff will visit the property next month and monitor his progress. We will work with him by providing him some time to clean up his property. If progress is not made, we will then open an official nuisance case. A dump day is coming up. We are working on securing those dates. One aspect of this will be to assist county residents who are elderly or disabled and are unable to utilize this program. Staff is coordinating this and will be able to reach out to these qualified residents to help assist them so they can utilize free dump day. But more to come on this next month. And I know I say this at just about every meeting, but please continue to spread the word about our community survey. The survey will help inform our master plan update. It can be found on our homepage or request a hard copy at the planning department. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Ms. Miller, do you have something to report today?
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. Good morning. I'm here observing today. I only come to the meetings every month. I have a luncheon date the first Tuesday of every month. So I'm here just to catch up and see what happened. And
okay.
Then to email my commissioners if I have a question. Thank you.
Great. We're happy to have you here.
Thank
you. Participation. Ms. Abercrombie, anything from the library, community chest today?
Thank you, Commissioners. Pam Abercrombie for the record, community chest. I do have a wonderful announcement today. The library has hired a library director, and this is Chris Klug. She's a native of Nevada. She has a wealth of experience in project management, public service development and sustainability, and library services with small budgets. Our hours will be expanded by March 1st. She is hired for 30 hours a week, so I anticipate us being open at least 20 hours a week. We have a baseline of services and use that I shared with you in January that we'll be using to demonstrate growth moving forward. And one quick community chest update. We have our annual Night to Imagine fundraiser coming up March 21st at Piper's featuring Ramblin' Jack Elliott.
Great. Thank you. Ms. Devin, what do we have for community services?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sherry Nevin for the record. Mark Twain has scheduled a health fair on March 22nd at the Community Center. We're working with various community groups, specifically Carson City Health and Human Services, Carson Tahoe Hospital, our local fire department, and various other groups to bring some much-needed services to that community. So that will be March 22nd from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We are also working to secure an automatic external defibrillator, very similar to what you see out there by the elevator for the Mark Twain Community Center. Planning continues for the Highlands evacuation drill on May 17th. Please note that the evacuation center will now be held at the Virginia City Middle School versus the high school. The high school has a large softball tournament going on that weekend. We will be doing a preparedness session for our residents on Thursday, March 20th at 6 p.m. at the Highlands Fire Safe Council at the fire station out there. We're also looking to schedule a barbecue and training for the hopefully the first Saturday in April. We have been very quiet on the earthquake front the last couple of weeks here. Very good news. But we are working with a graduate student from the UNR Seismology Lab to have them come up to the elementary school here and in Lockwood and do a brief training on preparedness. We are also working with Carson City Health and Human Services to visit and talk again about providing health inspection services for Story County. I just heard from them this morning. They're very eager for that meeting. So we'll get that scheduled here sometime the first, second week in March. I'm also working with the communications department on a couple of different grants to upgrade the phone system in dispatch. It's aging and in desperate need of replacement. So hopefully we can be successful in those efforts. And I continue to do outreach with the various community groups, meeting with them here in the next few weeks already as that's begun to talk about budgets and as we move forward here. So that's all I have. If you have any questions for me.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Chief Ames?
I think, Mr. Chairman, I have nothing to add from last meeting to I know that's surprising. Thank you, Bill.
Mr. Hamilton.
Thank you, Commissioner. Dean Haymore, Story County Community Development Director. Just wanted to let you know we started another major project, 703,000 square foot facility. We have 6 months to get this built and the company in it. We got 40 foot cuts and 25 foot fills. Just got the plans and I got about 100 sheets to get done in the next week to, so we can start, they'll actually be ready to start pouring footings next Monday. And so we're moving right along on that. I do want to inform you that March 10th, I will have rotator cuff surgery on my right shoulder and carpal tunnel on my right hand. I will be in recovery for 2 weeks, and then I jump on a plane. Actually, I got to be in recovery for 6 weeks, but I'll jump on a plane on March 23rd and go back to Washington, D.C., represent the nine counties as president of Western Nevada Development District, and request those fundings for USA Parkway and things like that. So my office will be lean for 3 to 4 weeks. Probably won't see you guys because you're going back a couple of weeks before me, and then I will have my surgery, so it'll be about a month before I'll even be around to see anybody to 6 weeks. So Shannon will be very busy down at Tri because when we fast track, we do 3 to 5 to 6 inspections a day because we just walk these buildings and the foundations and everything else. So we're constantly out there. So I just wanted to let you know that. I'm going to ask to be excused this afternoon. Austin should have the 3 business licenses that we want to, on the second reading, to continue.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Was that 703 or 703?
703,000.
703,000? Can you announce who it is, or is that still?
I can announce. The project is called Neptune. It's actually Zoo Lilies. That is exist in an existing building out there in about 250,000. They are expanding to 703,000 and 1,000 employees. And so they are really expanding their business. We are under some work with some more buildings that I met with engineers on Friday. And so we'll continue to let you know about those. We expect a major amount of buildings to be submitted in the next 2 weeks, too. Okay. So that's about 2 million more square feet. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Do you have plane tickets yet to D.C.?
What's that?
Do you have plane tickets yet?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I'm flying out on the 23rd. I'm on Capitol Hill all day Wednesday and Thursday that week.
Right.
Thank you.
Good luck with your surgery.
Yeah. A lot of fun. Oh, man. No, Susan went through that.
Sheriff Fontanaro?
Just a couple things real quick to address questions that were brought up on the claims from Mr. Phillips, that 210, it does have on the line item, it says jail building fund, I believe, but it's the account number. It is 210, the 210 account, which is just the jail fund. However, it's written on the paper. It's all one and the same account, Mark. And then in response to Mr. Beach's question, because like him, since he first brought the issue up to me, I've wondered about it. I believe that in conversations with comptroller and with county manager that the intention is to do away with the entire jail fund this budget cycle and roll it all into sheriff's office. And you will correct me, I'm sure, if I'm wrong. So that's it. Thank you.
Okay, great. Sheriff? DA Maddox?
I don't have anything.
Yeah. You missed a bit, right? Thank you. Mr. Morse?
Nothing.
Ms. Langer?
Nothing.
Mr. Gallagher?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And for some little additional information on the jail fund, we had always tried to, because we thought it was a separate entity, separate and apart from the sheriff, that it should be its own fund. We all know the circumstances of why the fund was created in the first place. And we had sought to at least provide some sustaining revenue that was centered with the operation of the jail fund. And if we could have done that, I would have liked to have seen that continue. We just don't have the ability to do anything with some sort of a jail fund that's an operational fund. The ad valorem and the stuff that is equated to there with business licenses or whatever really doesn't fit. We thought we could make a run at this and say so what I'm looking at this up at this period of time is bringing it back into the county, understanding there's probably going to be some other issues with that, but if we can't find a sustaining revenue for that fund to cover the operational expenses of that fund, then we should probably eliminate that fund. So that's where we are with that. Budgets are underway. We have completed or have at least disseminated all the information to the various department heads, and they're going to have their budgets completed by March 1st. We will then conduct our meetings with each department head, trying to figure out where we are going to be, understanding that ad valorem we will not have a concrete figure with that, which is a big part of what we do. But at least we're going to get 90% of it done because, as we all know, 80 to 85% of our budget is salaries anyway. We'll have a review with the county manager on the 29th and present it to the commission for their approval on April 1st. So we've got some time. I know some of them are going to meet with me this week and next week. So and then I'm going to save time for our big funds, which is going to be the sheriff and jail fund, Mike Nevin's six funds that he has, and Gary Hames. The rest of them we can hit and miss, but those are going to take some time. So that process is continuing. Since our last meeting, we've had there's been some conversations on and some discovery on my part concerning the park tax fund. As some background, in those years of 85 and 90, it's been my discovery that there probably was no automated system at that point in time. It was all ledgers, as we usually do with various funds. Each fund had a ledger that was penciled in or pinned in, and the county auditor or whatever would come in once a year and give us a report based upon those various ledgers. When I was here in 2008, Maggie Lothar had a ledger at that point in time. I did not receive any of those ledgers, nor could they be found. So we had to go through the only place that I had to extract information was in 1996 when I believe the first computer system got here. The first automated system. And so there were notations there as far as the individual park funds. Now that in itself is about all I have until I had a meeting with Mr. Haymore on Friday. And thank God for Mr. Haymore, he doesn't agree with destroying things after 7 years. This guy's a hoarder. And what we found, or what at least Dean told me, was that he still has the original pegboard receipt books, hopefully through from 1980 on, and possibly copies of the original permit, which will show the $250 payment for each of these building sites. And I think this is a very important discovery, and hopefully all of that stuff will come to fruition. Because it's not only important for the Highlands people, it's also important for Lockwood, Mark Twain, and Virginia City that we get this thing done. So before Dean goes in for his various operations, I'm going to meet with him, grab what material he's got. I'm going to take a look at it. I had a conversation with Dave Thomas yesterday, And we pretty much agreed as to the process that if in those various years we don't see anything happening, then we're relatively assured that the tax wasn't collected. We're trying to look at the first year that this, that the tax was collected. Once we find that, we'll narrow it down there. I do really want to go through his list of parcels to make sure that those are there, if the information is there. And if by chance that we missed it, then we missed it. And the and I'm not only from the Highlands, but everybody else, see where we are relative to what Dean has did. Because at that point in time, Dean was the one that collected the park tax fees. The school tax fees, as I understand it, for the school construction was collected by the clerk treasurer at that point. So Dean would not have any of that material commingled with the park tax fees. So from my perspective, I'm pretty excited about this because at least we've got some place to start. We've got some competent evidential matter that we can take a look at, that we can say, you know what, we got the receipt, the guy got the permit, yes, in fact, we did, in whatever year that was. So we will continue to go on this, and I think it'll be a very, I'm hoping for a quick process. I'm just not sure when all of this can happen. Please stay with me on this because I've got a budget I need to get out, but in the meantime, I'll gather up as much information as I can and do as much work as I can on it. So that's where I'm at tonight.
That's good news. Okay, thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Clerk Stevens, anything to say?
All rise.
Just a couple little things. Starting next month, election season kicks off, so candidate filing will be March 3rd through the 14th, with the primary in June, so it'll be kind of a quick calendar. And then we've been working hard on getting a tax sale together with the help of Mr. Morris, so hopefully soon we'll have an agenda item to have you guys order that sale, and we can do the first one of those in about 10 years. Is that it?
Great. Thank you. Notice that Mr. Osborne is sitting in for Mr. Witt today, so what do you have for us?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a note that Pat will be out of the office until the 10th, at least part of that time. He'll be in Washington, D.C. with at least one of our commissioners doing our annual work out that way. I'm going to come back to this other item here. Danny wanted us to mention that tonight at 5:30 down at the Red Dog, there will be another business mixer, like the one that was done out of the Crystal Bar, so all the businesses in town as well as the public and anybody are encouraged to attend and kind of be able to see how that goes down there for all the businesses on C Street as part of the BCTC. Just there will be no commission meeting on March 4th, so that's something to take note, as you guys will be in NACO, or at least Pat and one commissioner will be. And then just on my items, to let you know, we have begun the bargaining with the OE 3 Sheriff's Office Association Union, as well as the Fire Employees Associations. So we've engaged in at least two meetings at this point, but we're trading back and forth our concepts, and then we'll be calling for a closed session as well with the board on this side. So just to let you know, that process has begun, and we're going through the process as per 288. And that's about all there is to say on that for right now. We are in the process for open insurance enrollment for our employees, elected officials, and retirees. At this point, our new insurance broker, LP Insurance, has been absolutely amazing. They have really been auditing all of our insurance plans and finding minutiae that we weren't sure existed, and also testing it for compliance against the ACA Affordable Care Act. And making sure that we're fully compliant, and then that's merging right into the annual bidding process where they'll bid with the insurance carriers and try to get the county not only the best price, but potentially the best coverage for the price and premiums that we pay. So it's actually been kind of an exciting process with them. They're really full of activity and energy and very competent. So at the same time, we have our health benefits committee put together, and we're listening to the concerns of employees and retirees and others with regard to costs as well as services, and trying to relay that information also to our insurance broker that is then going to work with the bidding process in that. So, of course, between April 1st and the deadline, which is May 1st, that will be the period somewhere in there where we have open enrollment where everybody comes and they will choose the plan that they wish to have and what's being offered, as well as get a presentation and some education on all your health, dental, vision, and life insurance. And then last, there will be this Thursday at 6:30 or 6 o'clock at night, there will be that town hall with the Planning Commission. This is a proposal in Gold Hill to reopen the Crown Point Mill, restore the building, and use it as a cyanide vat leach processing facility as it was originally constructed in the 1930s. And so at this point, staff is taking a publicly neutral position as the applicant. It's not an applicant at this point. He's a pre-applicant. We'll go ahead. He'll do a presentation. He'll field questions and concerns of the public. And staff will also be doing the same thing. And then when he applies for special use, or if he applies for special use, that will become the period when staff takes an official position on the proposal and then develops a staff report with findings, recommendations, and we'll go through the whole Planning Commission process again, as well as this board process, as we would any other special use permit. So I just wanted to let everyone know that that is going to take place in this room at 6:30 this Thursday. And then the last item I have, as Mr. Phillips had discussed, a conversation he had with Recorder Chapman regarding getting a copy of this particular map. Ms. Chapman is spending, and it's not our money, she's got some money set aside for it, but it's $2,500 to $5,000 on restoring an official map that looked kind of similar to what you see on the wall back there. This is a very crunchy, old, very delicate and fragile map. And it's taking quite a bit. I don't know anything about restoring maps and documents, but she's got a qualified firm that is going to restore this document, do what they do to turn it into new again at one point or another. But at this point, touching the map does damage to the map. So it has to be managed very closely with this firm. They will go through the whole process of getting the map restored. And at that point, it may become available for being copied or provided or whatever. But at this point, she cannot provide a copy of that. They can't put that map through a, you know, any kind of a printing machine or anything like that. The closest agency at this point that can restore or do such a thing with that map is in San Francisco. And it would take thousands of dollars to do a copy of that map and provide it. So I know Ms. Chapman is cognizant of Mr. Phillips' request. She will be able to fulfill it when the time comes. But at the moment, that would be the conditions that we're under. And that's it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Just adding to Danny Dodson's mention of the chamber mixer at the Red Dog tonight, I believe that's a joint mixer with the Reno Sparks Chamber of Commerce as well. So they've all been invited to come up. Did I miss anybody on this?
I got a question on the committees in total. I don't want to ask a question.
Can we wait till we get to public comment or to one of the other items there's action on? Okay, that was the end of item 9. Item 10, board comment. Back to Commissioner Schwagen.
Well, Hugh brought up the park fund thing. I've been working on that for quite a while, too. I think we're making some good progress. I think we're starting to see some real numbers. We get her done.
Very good. Very good. I don't have anything at this time. Okay, we've continued items 11 and 12, so we'll move on to item 13. Discussion, possible action, the selection of David A. Pringle, CPA, LTD, as Story County Auditor for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2014. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under NRS 354-624, item 3, the governing body may, without requiring competitive bids, designate the auditor or firm annually. The auditor or firm must be designated, and notification of the auditor or firm designated must be sent to the Department of Taxation not later than 3 months before the close of the fiscal year for which the audit is made. Mr. Chairman, the current auditor, David Pringle, CPA, LTD, has done an excellent job of providing audit compliance, accounting, and auditing advice and financial statement presentation to Story County. Their work is professionally done, and their rate is more than reasonable. In addition, any questions or meeting that may need to be raised or accomplished is usually done at no cost to Story County. To select a different auditor just for change is not in the best interest of Story County. Auditor changes are usually due to significant adjustments to the auditor's business model, or in the case of Arthur Anderson, which maybe some of you may know, which was the biggest, largest national firm in the world, a felony conviction for obstruction of a federal investigation into the Enron matter. So they are no longer here. In addition, it has been my experience that any time you change auditors in any either public or private entity, you're going to have time that those people have to look and review not only your business practice, not only your business model, but also review all of your files, which is additional 100 to 120 hours a week, or added on to that cycle. And if you figure out that general partners are probably quoting about $100 to $125 an hour, you can do the math. I believe that our records will show that since 2010, David Pringle, CPA, has been more than adequate to manage our processes, or manage our audits. If you look at the statement dates on the various reports that we get, the various annual reports, which means this is the day they closed their field work. This is the day that everything stopped, and now they're in the reporting mecca. And in 2010, their statement date was October 22nd. 2011, it was November 18th. 2012, September 18th. That's 2 months. And this last year, it was September 6th. I mean, there is no firm that has done any county audit, I believe, in this state that has a date that says September 6th. There are some that still are out there. In talking in Douglas County, talking in Carson City, they've had extensions on their audit, and they still haven't got it because of the field work hasn't been done yet. The amount of their audit has been more than reasonable. It has remained between, in 2010 was 32,000. This last year was 34,000. More than reasonable. You take that to any national firm, regional firm, you're going to find this to be a lot more. Contractual obligations with certified public accountants and legal firms have pretty much stood the test of time with any entity until something goes wrong, either with their business cycle, as I mentioned before, or their business model, or a retirement of a partner, or just plain moving out of business, selling their business, etc. If those things did occur, we would certainly look at it. I do not feel at this point in time it is necessary to do that. And my recommendation is to select David A. Pringle, CPA, LTD, as our auditor for the 2013 or 2014 financial statements.
Thank you. Any discussion on this? Ms. Clark, come on up.
Nicole Bard, Highlands resident. Excuse me. Last year, I, as well as others, brought not so much an objection, but a question as to why are we going with the same auditor year after year? Would it not benefit us to have a fresh pair of eyes looking at our accounts? It's interesting that you bring up Arthur Anderson, Hugh, because it was precisely because Arthur Anderson had been doing Enron's books for so long, had gotten in bed with them, and were blinded by this is always the way we've done it, that they were brought up on felony charges and no longer exist. Austin, you brought up the fact that we engaged a new insurance broker in LP Insurance, and they're bringing new and different things and other ways of doing things. That's what you get when you do go for another fresh pair of eyes. This is not a comment aimed at anything Pringle has done incorrectly. It is a comment aimed at when someone does something for so long, over and over, they can, as I mentioned in the April meeting last year when I objected to this, they may get snowblind, and they may not see things that they need to see to help us to avoid the same problem over and over again. So, again, I'm going to stand here and ask why, when I brought this up in April and asked that you guys do it, and you essentially in that meeting said, okay, we will look at that and we will see if we can do it, that didn't get done this year for this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Beach. Since you're halfway on the podium, you might as well come on up.
They moved that thing to be camera two in the shot.
Who did that?
I don't know.
Who did that?
It needs to be hung up.
It'll put you closer to the handcuffs, that's why.
I've got a daughter that's a certified public accountant, and she says, as a matter of course, old man, every 3 years, go out to bid on your insurance and get rid of your auditor and try a new one. I've stuck with that all my life, and I've got my house now. I just they get to owning you after a certain amount of time. They think you're mine, and I don't have to do a damn thing to get that money. My house insurance, I'm just redoing it, $430 a year. It was almost 11 whenever I got rid of it.
Thank you.
There,
Lansfield.
You did it.
Holy cow.
Hey,
hi.
Who got your shirt?
What's that?
Who got your shirt?
Murphy?
Aaron Rolls?
Yes. Reno.
Mark, do you have discussion on this? We're on item 13, Mr. Gilman.
Thank you, sir.
Mark Joseph Phillips, for the record. This is discussion before possible action. Item number 13, selection of David A. Pringle, CPA, LTD, as Story County Auditor. For the record, I wrote a quick email to the commissioners yesterday or Sunday, in an attempt to voiced my concerns before the meeting. I responded to a letter written on Thursday, February 13th, by our neighbor Janet House. She was concerned about the procedure on selecting the auditor. The list of auditors submitted to the county for your consideration, and scope of work, length of audit, and fees. I appreciate Mr. Gallagher addressing the fees and addressing the cost. What happened is I too am interested in the agenda item number 13. Last year at this time, there was discussion about choosing a new outside independent auditor, CPA. It appears that the selection of David A. Pringle, CPA, LTD, has already been decided, with no other options on the table. And for the record, you go back to last year, the meeting where the auditor was approved, you'll find no record of public comment. Whose fault's that? I guess it's mine for not catching that. But, y'all think we're getting a little mean, nitpicking on the minutes before they're approved. But once they're approved, there's no going back. Going back and finding out our public comment for that day is non-existent. Dag nabbit. All right.
Ms. House?
Thanks again, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have requested the letter of engagement. If you are approving it now, if you are not approving now, but I still need to have a copy of the draft of the letter of engagement by the auditors. Thank you, because I still have not received it.
Mr. Chairman, I'll address the concerns of the audience. Anybody else?
Come on up.
Hi, I'm Kay Dean, and I'm trying to put my hearing aids in because I'm hearing impaired, and I'm not sure how that's going to feedback. As a former employee of Arthur Anderson, regrettably, just briefly for a year, I can reiterate that having the same accounting firm from the inside as a staff person over and over, year after year, you miss stuff. You have the same supervisor leading you in. He knows what to anticipate, and you do not get a total fresh look. And that is just coming from an employee at Arthur Anderson, very low level, years ago. I have a question because you indicated, Hugh, that the rates were more than reasonable. So I'm assuming that you got bids from other accounting firms regarding the scope and the cost of the review to be able to ascertain whether they were reasonable or not. And I know that many of you are attending this conference in Washington, D.C., which is the National Association of Counties. And they actually have a code of ethics. And it's timely that you're going because perhaps you need to look at that code of ethics. And it indicates that an ethical county official should evaluate all decisions so that the best service or product is obtained at minimal cost without sacrificing quality and fiscal responsibility. Thank you.
Thank you. Before you go on, anybody else in the audience like to speak before Mr. Gallagher? Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to remark on Nicole and Kay Dean's thing with Arthur Anderson. As you know, Kay, Arthur Anderson was also their internal auditor, which is a no-no for any outside auditor to do. They're also publicly traded, but it just goes to show you what happens when somebody gets greedy. And that's what that was Arthur Anderson's deal. They were not only the external auditor, they were the internal auditor. And so they paid themselves for good internal audit reports on their Qs, so consequently, stock market suffered for it, and so did a lot of people. So, from the Enron basis, well, we can, that's all there. But the fresh look is you can take that either way. I would like to go with those people who know what they're doing, come in here, get the standard done. As far as Dale's daughter's concerned, she's wrong. This does not happen.
Are you a CPA?
No, but she's wrong. I'm not going to tell you why. And a cage deal. I talked to, I knew the bids, and I know the problems, and I know the amounts that Lyon County, Douglas County, and Carson have. They're all over $100,000, and none of them have put their stuff out to bid. They've been there for 20 years, whoever it was their CPA. So, for a fresh look, I don't agree with it. I think that Pringle CPA has done an excellent job in representing this county. There has been nothing from the audience as to any misrepresentations of the financial statements or the financial position or the financial health of this county, and to say, well, you've done a good job, but we're going to get rid of it just because we want a fresh look, I don't think is a professional way of doing things.
Gilman, anything on this?
I have appreciated the work that Pringle has done. I've especially appreciated the recommendations that they have made over the last, I've been here a year now. I saw the recommendation prior year, the recommendations of this year. I've watched our comptroller implement those recommendations. We're line item budgeting. We have our departments all reporting. I think that we are and have our hands around the financial position and responsibility for the county as commissioners. And I personally think it would be a mistake to change horses in the middle of the stream. I believe that they're doing an excellent job. Their recommendations are excellent. We're following those. And I believe we're on a good platform. I'm prepared to support Mr. Pringle.
I've been working with Mr. Pringle off and on now for, 15 years, I suppose, in a variety of positions, and I've always found him to be very knowledgeable about our county. And I know one thing that is very, very handy is that if I have questions where I have to go back into history and refer to something, he's familiar with the operation. If you bring someone in new, they'll just give you that deer in the headlights there, and they don't know what, you know, has happened in previous years. So I'm quite happy with it. I like, I appreciate what some of the others have said, that, you know, a fresh look is sometimes a good thing, but in this case, I think that someone who is familiar with the product is of paramount importance to us. I would, if there being no other comment, I would make a motion to approve Dave Pringle as our auditor.
Okay. Well, I don't have any personal relationship with Pringle auditors. I know they've been doing business with the county for a long time. I think when it comes to auditing, the first line of defense are the department heads, because they're the ones who are spending the money out of the departments. Our internal auditors are the comptroller's office, as we reviewed there, and Pringle to be the external auditor. So when you go through the whole thing, and since nothing has come up in the past, there's any, you know, any scandalous items, I feel like you did. When you talk about bringing in a new auditor and how many additional hours it's going to cost for them to bring them up to speed on how the whole operation of the county is, I don't understand changing horses just to change horses. So, with that said, there's a motion for approval. Do I have a second?
You have a second.
It's been moved and second to approve Pringle. David A. Pringle, CPA, LTD, as the Story County Auditor for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2014. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. All right. We're going to move on to item 14. This is discussion of possible action, the approval of resolution 14-390, creating a special revenue fund, because you can never have too many of those, for the purpose of recording bond and loan funds and recording expenditures for the construction of the new wastewater treatment plant.
Mr. Chairman, this is a this is merely an accounting process that we take the designated revenues from the bond and interim financing from Wells Fargo and USDA, and the corresponding expenditures for the design and building of the new wastewater treatment plant, put that into one special revenue fund so we can all account for that, and instead of commingling with other funds. So it's just to designate all of those all those monies received and all those expenditures from that is in regard to the new wastewater treatment plant.
Great. Do you have any discussion on this? Come on down.
Mark wants to go back to outhouses. I'm going to store that in 1830. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mark.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Item number 14. Approval of Resolution 14-390, creating a special revenue fund. Okay. I don't see a name of the fund. Okay. For the purpose of recording bond funds, well, Since when did this sewage treatment plant have anything to do with a bond? I know you all have a loan, but I see throwing, I see a special revenue fund with no name. I see the word bond. I see no reference to the Virginia City Divide sewer. That's an enterprise fund. They already keep their accounts separate anyway. So what I see here is the same old thing, a unnamed special revenue fund where there is no definition of what it's for, where the money's going. And for the record, the loan payment is $3,002,000. I think that should be there, $3,002,000. Boy, no name. The reference to the bond, no reference to the loan already, and no reference to this enterprise fund. All right.
Thank you. Come on up.
Thank you, sir. You were correct us for the next meeting, huh?
We're getting right on to get heard.
This looks like a little sleight of hand of you guys trying to get Dale Beach and Mark Twain to pay for the sewer plant up here, and I don't like it.
Thank you, Dale.
Thank you, Dale.
Yes, you're welcome, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to address Mark's concerns here. The title of the fund will be the USDA Special Revenue Fund. There's another item that we're going to discuss that I'm going to make. What I'm thinking about doing is incorporating that into that since we're doing the USDA. It is, we have an interim debenture and a bond from USDA, and those have all been previously approved through the various things through Sherry and whatever. So if they were eliminated, I will take the blame for that. But in regards to the fund, it is, the title will be the USDA Special Revenue Fund, and it is for the payment of all of those monies received by Wells Fargo and the USDA and expenditures, therefore, for the construction of the new wastewater treatment plant.
Okay. Motion for approval of Resolution 14-390.
Okay. Motion to approve Resolution 14-390.
Do I have a second on that?
Second.
We move to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. Item 15. Discussion and possible action. Selection of the United States Department of Agriculture Rural Development Community Facilities Program to purchase 3 Type 1 structure engines and 3 transport ambulances in the amount not to exceed $2 million.
Mr. Chairman, in talking to the fire chief, the vehicle, the structure engines and the transport ambulances that we currently have are probably either in the maintenance shop at least once a week. It's the law of that diminishing returns. We're not going to get much more out of them. We have an opportunity with USDA to go out to bid to select at least 3 structure engines, 3 type 1 structure engines and 3 ambulances to turn that thing over. I think the turnaround period, correct me if I'm wrong, is about a year.
9 months for the engines and probably a year for the ambulances. If I could, Gary, hang to the record just quickly, is that 3...
Come on up, Gary. Come on up.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry, Gary Hames for the record. If I could just interject quickly, it's not three complete ambulances, it's three re-chassis of existing ambulances. As you know, our drivetrains are just falling out of the ambulances, essentially. So it's just the cabin chassis. We're going to take our existing boxes, put those on the new cabin chassis. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. This actually is, we have to do this in order with USDA. We have to get your approval before we even visit with these people. So this is merely a preliminary step, but one that I think is needs to be done in order to get all these things done.
It's a long process.
Yes, it is.
Purchasing new equipment. Okay. Anybody like to speak on this? Okay. Call for the question.
Well, motion to approve Story or the selection of the United States Department of Agriculture to purchase the aforementioned equipment.
Have a second on that?
Yes, second.
It's been moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Motion carries. All right. Moving on to item 16. A discussion of possible action. Story County Special Purpose Grant Program for the 2014-15 fiscal year. The goal of Story County Special Purpose Grant Program is to assist organizations whose purpose is to help the residents of Story County. Ms. Nevin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sherry Nevin for the record. Working with Commissioner Sylvain over the course of the last couple months here, we've been trying to develop some language to establish a special purpose grant program for Story County. As Chairman McBride mentioned, the goal of this grant program is to assist organizations whose purpose is to help the residents of Story County. The focus is to fund small projects that would aid these entities in better serving their target populations. This program should support agencies that are making an effort to develop and implement innovative projects that would address a common goal. Grant funds can only be provided to a private organization, not-for-profit, or to a governmental entity for charitable or educational purposes and must provide a substantial benefit to the inhabitants of the county. Under NRS 244-1505, the Board of Commissioners may expend money for any purpose which will provide a substantial benefit to the inhabitants of the county, and that the Board may make any grant of money to a nonprofit organization created for religious, charitable, or educational purposes or other governmental entity to be expended for a selected purpose. I think there was some more information that went out in the packet, but that's a brief summary of what we're looking to do here. So. It's kind of looking that the program may be funded with up to $40,000 the first year, depending on the way things go, with $10,000 allocated for each community. So we've got various different nonprofits working in these groups. I know that the Lockwood Senior Center is working to get nonprofit status. Mark Twain Community Group is working to get nonprofit status. We've got a GID in Lockwood. We've got the homeowners group here. We've got community chest. We've got various other things. So this would be for a lot of the groups already get community support funds on a yearly basis. So this would be something above and beyond that. So a certain project that they're going to do that's going to benefit their community. So
just for clarity, in order to fund Lockwood and or the Mark Twain community and community centers, they need to acquire their 501c3 status, that's correct?
Absolutely.
And we're in the process of implementing that as we speak. And this grant program would then allow us to deliver further financial benefits in those communities.
Absolutely. Yeah, they'd have to apply. It'd be an application process, and we attach that there. It's just a draft of what we're looking at. Very simple, two pages. Basically, you know, tell us what you want to do, give us some goals, and how it's going to benefit the entire community. So,
Sherry, I really appreciate you picking up the baton and rolling on this. I think these are the kind of programs that we've been looking for our communities, in all of our communities. And thank you for being the champion on that basis, bringing this to the floor. And I certainly wholeheartedly support your efforts here.
We may have to do some additional work talking with legal staff on resolutions and things of the like. So we
this
may.
This is just kind of an approval in concept. And if you do, then we'd prepare a policy, a county policy, that would carry out this sort of approval in concept. So if you, that's how Washoe County's done it. They have a county policy. And so if you approve it in concept, then I'll bring back a policy to you that you'd need to approve that would basically put it in place.
And Washoe County has been very successful with this project over the years. Funding, of course, has been cut, but they continue to do as much with it as they can. So it just kind of makes things a little bit easier so you don't have folks, you know, coming all the time requesting money if we have an application period and we're going to award the money at this time of the year. They know that. So they can come forth at, you know, hopefully one time. If we don't use all the money in that year, perhaps we could visit a sort of a midterm cycle. We've got extra money left. We'd like to give it out to these groups.
They have one big project or two or three small projects.
You know, if they've got a sign they want to put up at the Mark Twain Community Center, if you want to do something in Lockwood, you know, that's going to, say, cost you $5,000, that'd be an excellent use of these funds.
One of the things that that got us thinking about this in the first place was the, several months ago, was the park fund situation, and looking at the limitations that we have from the park fund. The money can only be applied to the park. All the parks are built out in the county, and and number one, number two, we don't have any taxes rolling in on it anymore because nobody's building houses for the present time, and so it was a way to put at least something out there for the communities to use for other things that they might want besides just a park. And so I could see, I made quite a few suggestions to the One Acre Association a month or so back, and they've come up with some things, that some ideas. I'm sure that everyone around is going to come up with some different ideas for this, things that they could do. We get this thing rolling, I think everybody will be happy with it. And I think we're not limited to, you know, the amount of funding. I just picked 40,000 as a blue sky number, let's see how it goes. And then refund it each year at a level that we can afford, depending on the amount of use. And then, of course, we'll let this accumulate over a period of several years. So you could actually build up a pretty good chunk of money there to do a major project if that was your goal.
Sherry, I know you're holding ongoing meetings with the boards, Mark Twain, Lockwood, and others, and I understand that you're developing lists of ideas, suggestions, community desires. And I really encourage that. I thank you for, again, picking up that baton and working with each individual community. And this is exactly where we need to go to start our funding and bring our community in as a whole and together. And I think that coordination effort at your desk is just, thank you.
And I think this will be a help, too, towards the nonprofits who may be looking at foundations, too, for funding. And this would be a nice source that they can say, we've got this amount of funding committed from the county. Would you help us out with the rest of this? So I think it's a good marrying of different funds to get them the amount of money that they need to carry out their mission of helping the public.
The other thing that I believe that would be important to make clear here, we have been working on a fund whereby a quarter-cent sales tax can be looked at or addressed to a particular list of needs throughout our county and our community. Now what we're discussing is yet another way to fund or address additional lists, additional questions, things that we can't do that way that we can do this way. So I think it's important for everyone to understand that, Bill, thank you for taking this on. I think it's important for everyone to understand we are looking for many funds, many levels of investment, so that we can continue to invest in our population and in our community and our county. This is just one more of those.
My motto has always been, don't spend your own tax money, spend someone else's.
Come up, we take some public comment on this. Mr. Prosser, you had your hand up first.
Gunther Prosser from the River District. I like Lance Gilman, think this is fantastic, and I appreciate Mr. Bill Savonigan taking this park from the bottom of his list and putting it to the top of the list, because it's been an ongoing process. Is it my understanding that this is county monies, this $40,000, or is it a federal grant money?
County money.
County money, okay. And it's just, I appreciate the different ways that you're trying to raise this money, because in the past 3 to 4 years, there's never been any money. So I'm just wondering where this money comes from all of a sudden. But I think it's fantastic that this is being put together, and let's make it all work. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Barr, you had your hand up next.
Nicole Barr, Highlands resident. I also think this is a great idea. The thing I like about this is that you've attached what Washoe County is doing in terms of how they're administering it, and it has some structure to it, which you know, I think we all need. So I just have a couple of comments. Bill, you had spoken about this many times in the past as a replacement for the park funds. I think by now you know you can't do that. So there's some language in here that may need to get cleaned up. So this is not a replacement for park funds, correct?
No.
Okay, so that's a change in what you had said before. Good, good, good.
You misunderstood me, but go ahead.
I think you're documented as saying that, but okay. The second thing is, in the staff summary as written, it talks about is that grant funds can only be provided to a private organization, not-for-profit, et cetera. Again, all the NRSs that you have attached, as well as the Washoe example, this is only for nonprofits. It is not for-profit organizations that can apply, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so the language here, a private organization, there's no, it's a very simple thing. These monies are for nonprofits, period, and the end, correct?
I would say, unless there is some, give me an example.
I think the wording is just off here. I see where you have it here, Nicole.
Yeah.
A grant fund's only provided to a private organization, not for profit. It should have been a non-profit organization. So it's just a...
Oh, but words mean things, so I want to be very clear on what... Okay. All right.
As indicated in the NRS.
NRS. So this follows NRS. It is for non-profit organizations, whether they be governmental, which are by definition non-profit, et cetera, right? Okay. I like the fact that there's, you know, application form, et cetera. I might suggest that in that application, either as a preamble or afterwards, that you also state, much like when the state provides funds to nonprofits, et cetera, is that they're providing it to an organization that complies with federal and state non-discrimination principles, et cetera, so on and so forth. Those are standard comments. I'm sure you can find them on the grants that you get. Another thing is that nonprofits typically, by GuideStar and other, have a guide that says that their operational and administrative expenses cannot be greater than some percent of total expenses, meaning that when the government or a foundation gives money to a nonprofit, they want the biggest bang for that buck. They want the majority of that money going to the people that it is intended to. If they look at an organization whose overhead, salaries, et cetera, is sitting at 65, 70, or 80%, that means only 20 cents on the dollar actually gets delivered. I think that, per your own words, and I totally agree with this, is that the money that we as a county are giving to organizations really is destined to go. The majority of that money needs to get to the people or to the organization. And so I think there also needs to be a standard here that the organizations to whom we give the money really have a focus on providing greater than 50 cents, 60 cents on the dollar going directly to who it's intended to. I suggest you do that. It is standard practice out
in the... Why don't you send me an email on all these, Nicole?
Okay.
Drafting the policy, so...
Got it. The other thing is, if the, I don't understand simply because I haven't heard it spoken, but I don't understand why we would put such, again, I love it, and you know me, I like process, I like structure, I like clarity. I think that the way that this has been constructed, Sherry, and this is to your skill, is very good. Why isn't this the same thing? Why isn't the same thing here also apply to all the other organizations that the county provides money to under community services? I think that this provides a fantastic boilerplate and test, if you will, for any organization that the county decides to give money to, whether it's Community Chest, whether it's the library, whether it's any organization, I think really does need to abide by this. So why not apply this to those organizations and other nonprofits that the county already gives money to? Because it seems like they ask for money and they get it, and I don't see any rigor either in the budget process or in the request process that we are asking them to abide by. In here, it's very explicit what Washoe expects their organizations to provide them. Again, it's, I think, a very good boilerplate. So my question, why not apply this?
You're actually getting a little bit off base because we're talking about other organizations within the county, okay, like this specific issue.
And I wonder, why is this being treated differently?
We'll only talk about this at a later date because that's really not what we're talking about right now.
So
there's an apples and oranges is what I'm saying right now. We're talking about simply about implementing this grant fund process for now. We're not talking about our other nonprofits in the county right now.
Why not?
Because it's not on the agenda.
Okay, so I can ask for it to be for an agenda item to discuss this as a format to be applied to all of the other organizations. Okay.
Paul, another suggestion I make following up on bill finance, this is a work in progress.
Okay.
And so the next thing that's going to happen is all we're going to do is basically advise staff and Sherry that we want to move forward in this program. And Bill has suggested take your comments, put them together in a deliverable written form. He's going to undertake, devil's always in the details, and so we'll see this evolve. But it is an evolving project and process. Love to have your comments. I don't disagree with you at all.
Okay.
I'd like to see all of them informed, go to Bill's desk, and then we'll see what evolves from that.
Okay, and I appreciate that. It's just that in the past, we, as an audience, don't know. It's a first reading, then it automatically goes to a second reading, and then when we give comments on the second reading, we're told, wait a second, we had a first reading, why didn't you tell us at the first reading? I don't know where we are with this. So if this is just floating a trial balloon, I think it's great. If it's a first reading, I wanted to make sure that the comments were heard before it automatically goes to second reading with not much happening in between. That's all.
For my guess, I believe you're going to see something evolve. We're going to revisit it. Sherry is really driving this process. Bill is going to make sure that it's been properly vetted and within the legal confines, and we've got a process and project that's evolving.
Okay.
So we'll come back to it.
All right. So are you telling me that we will see this after others will have the opportunity to send Bill other comments? We will see this again on the agenda, not as a second reading done deal, but as a second draft for comment before being going to a second reading for approval?
Yeah, it'll have more than one meeting.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
So allow us to take it to the next step, but no, we're not going to vote.
I would like to see this in place by July 1st, because that's the beginning of the fiscal year, so that gives us a little bit of...
Okay, so a work in progress means that the next time this shows up on the agenda, it will not be considered a second reading, and you vote on it. Is that correct?
Not even the first.
This is just a trial balloon. Okay, good.
Nicole, this is... The way Washoe County did is they just passed the public policy, so it's just like any other policy that we have. So there isn't a first and second reading. I'll draft a policy It'll come back before the board for consideration. I suppose if there's no objections or no additions to it, it could get through the next time we meet.
Sure.
But this isn't something that we have to, the ordinance process, when you talk about first and second readings, is a very defined process in the Nevada statutes. Us adopting a county policy isn't. So I'll draft a policy. We've already got a pretty good start on it because Washoe County has one, and then it'll come back and it could be approved the next time. But you can also comment the next time. So
this
we'll get that out.
You might as well stay up here. You're up next anyway.
Yeah.
I think you have comments from there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on up.
Come on, Bill.
Well, Mr. Maddox, is this going to be brought up as a county ordinance or just policy?
Policy.
Policy.
Yeah. It'll be a policy.
Okay.
That we have.
All right.
I hate to see you people pile more work off on the district attorney. I've got issues that's been in his office since the 8th month, 23rd day, and I haven't heard back from him. So
Kelly,
he ain't got enough time in office to get to this.
Kelly, we're some important stuff, Bill.
Yeah.
So, Jama, come on up, Jim.
I have Board of Equalization this afternoon, too. I know we're not going to talk about that.
Thank you, Chairman. This is the first time that I know that you'll be doing the community services. Very appreciate it. We work together.
Please address us, okay?
I know. Sorry. Appreciate it. Thank you. I know that you are very passionate with it, and I would like to work together with you, too. Some of the volunteers in Mark Twain has a group that is working on one small project. And I'm just curious, if we want to apply for a grant, not on Mark Twain, since the Mark Twain's advisory board has not formed the nonprofit, can we go through a different nonprofit organization? Mm-hmm. Second thing is that you are mentioning about the grant on this $40,000 setting aside. Actually, this grant you were saying is the county money. So where is the fund come from? Is it from the property tax or from the sales tax or something else? I don't know, but I would like to know where is this fund coming from. Now, giving the grant to the nonprofit organization, will they provide the financial report of the grant that they're given in an annual basis, or is it on the grant fixed amount that they were given? And the last one is that will the public has the access to review the grant expenditures? Thank you.
Okay. Well, you've asked a lot of questions for something that's in its infancy, but Sherry, would you like to respond to any of these questions?
I think a lot of that will be worked out once we do develop the policy as far as financial reporting and when they'll be required to report. It may be on a quarterly basis. It may be monthly. So we haven't refined that as of now.
Okay. Thank you. Any other public comment on this? All right.
Then
this time, looking for a motion to approval of item 16, Story County Special Grant Program. Well, because it's action.
I'm going to get word is here.
You want to do it or you want me to?
Your second.
Oh, okay. In my head.
Number 16.
I will. Then make a motion to approve the special purpose grant program for FY 2014-2015.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. This is just hit the process. Sorry.
Well,
I know, but this is just the first.
With the caveat that I'm going to go back.
This is the policy.
Can you put that in the record, what you just said, with the caveat that?
That's fine. You put it in there. I'll draft the policy and bring it back. And I'll try to do that by the next, well, we don't have a meeting for a month.
We got to approve the starting point. Or there is no starting point.
Or to say, begin the process to blah, blah, blah.
I worded exactly how it's written in the agenda. That's how it has to be done. Okay, you're up now, number 17. Discussion of possible action. Nicole Bart, request for accounting of the Nevada Commission for the reconstruction of the DNT Railroad funds due Story County.
Thank you, Sherry.
So, two things. Well, first of all, it has it as a request for the accounting of. So, I'm requesting.
Gal, you're giving documents with the. I have them in here. I think I have the accounting for it.
So that's, since that's the way the agenda reads, that's the way
okay,
it reads.
I thought maybe you were bringing something in that was a document like you brought in the last meeting for the parts.
This agenda, as written, is not the agenda request I submitted.
Okay.
And I brought that up twice in email and was told twice. Too bad.
So they owe us.
I would like to read the agenda item I actually requested, and I will wait to have it put on the next meeting to be answered. The agenda request I requested reads, accurate accounting of rail funds that the county claimed to have prior to the 2010 vote for extension of the 1/4 cent sales tax to fund the purchase of the new Virginia City Depot and the extension of the line, the tunnel, to the VC Depot. This was requested by me at the November 19, 2013 commission meeting, as well as after discussion, Lance mentioned he as well would like to see an accounting of the internal funds. I am attaching at the end of this document the timeline of the commission meetings where those funds were discussed. The claim that we already had funds designated for the VC project was part of the argument to pass the resolution for the 1/4 cent sales tax extension ballot measure question for the 2010 election. In 2011, there were specific amounts listed as part of the budget during those discussions. My bottom line question is, where are these funds now, not inclusive of the bond monies, because prior to pushing the bond and getting those monies, there was discussion going on with the commissioners that we already have the money. This money in this account is for the rail, da-da-da-da-da-da. So my question on the agenda item is, Dolly, if these conversations in the commission meeting have been going on since 2009, which they were, claiming that we had internal monies already in hand to start the project but didn't have enough, which is why we needed the bond, which is why we needed the 1/4 cent sales tax extension, I'd like accounting of those internal funds. That was my agenda request. This talks about an item that I brought up at the last meeting, which is to say, we've been paying them. We've submitted a request in November for the $950,000 that they owe us. And Pat's answer to me at that time was, well, we don't have the project ready for to get that money and so on and so forth. That got answered. This is an internal question I'm asking here. So. You?
Oh. Well, the number that you spoke of, the $950,000, is the numbers that I have also.
Correct. That was last meeting. I got that answer. This is a different question.
This is as of the end of December.
No, it doesn't go through. It goes through August of 2013.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're correct.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. You were at their last meeting. Had their audit been completed?
Yes, yes. And I got a copy of the audit, and I forwarded it to you. I forwarded the audit to Pat copying the commissioners with an email saying the week after that meeting saying, hey, guys, this audit shows $850,000 in their general fund. They owe us $950,000. Do you really think, you know?
It's my understanding that the funds themselves sit in the Carson City Treasury.
It shows as their general fund in their audit.
Carson City takes care of it. So if in the event that there's less money in their account, in the Railroad Commission's account than what they owe us,
apparently they've spent down some of these funds without requesting.
There was also a line item, again, this, I'm just, go read the audit. There was a line item in their budget that they had designated $435,000 to get paid to us in 2013, that the variance was 100% because that money wasn't requested by us. Therefore, they were to, you know, that was a boom for them.
My understanding, no money has been requested in the past because we didn't have the project ready to go forward. So the
and I understand that, and that is not the agenda item I requested. So what you're saying, and this conversation happened last meeting, I get that. This is a very different question.
So what do you want us to do right now at this?
Well, since what's on the agenda is not what
it's broad enough that you can, I mean.
No.
The problem we have is that if we put everything you put down here at some point in time, our agendas would be 20 pages long.
So the question is, where are the internal funds now? That's it. Yeah. Where's the accounting of the internal funds? That
so
is the agenda.
If you wanted to ask staff to produce a result of that, that would be your action.
Okay.
To that question.
Then that would.
I don't know if I understand your question.
Well, she says, accurate accounting of rail funds that the county claims to have prior to 2010. So you could
prior to 2010.
You could vote to ask.
To the vote, prior to the vote.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
To come up with that.
All right. So, okay, so we'd like to.
I'll make a motion to request that staff bring the accounting of that account up to standard and present it to the next meeting.
As to where we were before 2010.
Yes.
I have attached the date of meetings and what was said in meetings to my request. So you've got actual commission meeting references as part of my agenda.
Timeline?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we have a motion from Commissioner Gilman.
Second.
Sure.
Yeah, public comment.
Comment on this.
Public comment?
Yes.
On which issue?
On Nicole Bard's agenda item talking about the accounting of the B&T railroad funds. Only the B&T railroad funds.
I hear you.
And when I support her position, I agree with her 100%. So there's two people saying the same thing to you. Account the money.
Anyone else?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Mark Phillips, I would just like to thank Nicole for her due diligence, and I know it's hard for somebody from the public to come and actually make some progress here, and I think she's done a great job. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other discussion? Okay, I have a motion and a second directing staff to go back and show us where the money is and what it was prior to 2010. Mr. Gallagher, do you want to say anything?
That's not a problem, Mr. Chairman. They could have looked at the annual financial statements for those years and figured it out, but we can do it detailed from whenever it started till now. So okay. That's not a problem.
Right. All right. Move to a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Very good. All right. Next item on the agenda is item 19, possible action licensing board second readings. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I missed one?
Almost.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yep, let's back up. How did I miss that? Item 18, Mr. Morris. Discussion of possible action. Approval of resolution 14-391 to continue the contract with the Department of Taxation to administer the infrastructure tax.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Robert Morris for the record. This is a final piece that I'm going to present to the board for the infrastructure tax. When it was originally passed back in 2000, there was a requirement that the county contract with the Department of Taxation to administer the tax. Since the county has amended that ordinance, we just want to make sure that the Department of Taxation is clear that we want them to continue the administration of the infrastructure tax and to continue collecting it and dispersing it to the county. And so it's a requirement in the statutes when you originally start the infrastructure tax. Because we've amended it, I thought it was appropriate just to make sure by passing this resolution, in case the Department of Taxation ever questions whether we want this to be done. Yes, sir.
Is that an interest-bearing account that taxation puts this tax into?
That I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'll make a motion to approve it if there's no other discussion on it.
I agree. I'll second.
Okay, we have discussion. Mark, come on up.
Mark Joseph Phillips, Story County resident. Item number 18, discussion before the possible action of the approval of resolution 14-391 to continue the contract with Department of Taxation to administer the infrastructure tax. Okay, this resolution 14-391 refers to two prior things. Resolution 00-88 became effective on the 14th of October in the year 2000. Chairman Charles Haynes and Commissioner Hess, it's Doreen Backus, a test. For NRS 377B100, sales and use tax in Story County, 0.25%, but specifically to fund water facilities and school renovations. And then after that was the Ordinance 169, became effective 1st of January 2001. Ordinance 169 expired the 1st of January 2011. Well, 13. The authority to collect this tax expired 3 years ago. Ordinance 169 was specific in its list at that time for water facilities, school renovation, $22,000, Hugh Gallagher Elementary, $1 million water line replacement, and $220,000 for steel roof replacement of VC Middle School and Virginia City High School. $1,222,000 was the entire list, the last list that was made. I believe those projects were completed years ago, and there was only three projects on the list. And I was just looking at the current balance of the infrastructure fund. Current balance. There's $2,018,000 in the fund right now, so that's a lot of money. I guess everything from the old list has been paid off.
We've got $7 million on the new list.
Yeah, but does statute allow things like buying properties and stuff?
The statute allows even a wider range of things now.
Okay, because it was really...
Buildings like the courthouse and still schools and water systems, yeah, the NRS is...
Statute, it's widened its allowance, okay. Is there any reference to where the money goes? Is there any reference to putting the money in a fund? Water line replacement?
Did you get that list of infrastructure from a couple of weekends ago, Mark? We had a whole list of different items.
Yeah. Okay, that, thank you very much.
Has the county been collecting taxes for 3 years after the expired ordinance?
Even though Department of Taxation administered, the funds stay at the state or the funds stay in the county? Okay, so it's, okay. So those funds are in the county.
And are we getting interest for them?
No.
Come on up. Your name's Kay, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Kay Dean, Virginia Highlands resident. I did look at the infrastructure list, and just a comment on that. I also, when I was Googling, I noticed that in the March 31st minutes of the commissioners in 2011, they were talking about the infrastructure tracks, and they indicated that anticipated uses include Tunnel Number 6 and BC Freight Depot. The other thing is, I'm curious, I think it's great that the Department of Taxation would administer this fund, but I'm curious if you can administer a fund when I don't believe the county has complied with NRS in this, because in looking at the NRS statute on this fund, which they have broadened to many more areas where you can use it in, they indicate that such a plan must include, without limitation, the date on which the plan expires, a description of each proposed project, the method of financing each project, and the cost related to each project. And although you have a list, I did not see any date on which the plan expired on any plan that I've ever seen. It didn't mention in the 2011 minutes in March when these were expiring. So I don't think that the county has fully complied with the NRS requirements regarding this infrastructure tax fund list that you need to build. So I think you need to go back and look at NRS and do that, because I think there are some questions on the completeness and the accuracy and the fulfilling NRS with that requirement. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay. I have a motion that's been seconded for approval. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. Now we'll move on to item 19.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's recommended at this point that items A, B, C, and D, that's Stoll Machinery, Clean Harbors, and Videojet, and WTR Electronics, are approved. So I'll start at that. And if you'd like to make two separate motions, I'll just stop at that point.
Sure, okay. Move for approval on item 19 of A, B, C, and D.
So moved.
Seconded.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries.
And it's recommended that items E, F, and G, Arrow Construction, Mustang Ranch Emporium, and Mustang Ranch Mercantile, are continued.
Okay, with that said,
motion. Motion to continue those three.
Seconded.
Moved and second to continue E, F, and G. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right. Now we get down to the public comment, item 20. Marilyn Miller, come on down.
You're on, the Price is Right.
Good afternoon. Welcome, Mr. Gilman. Nice to see you again. I'm Marilyn Miller from the River District. I'm here to make sure that everybody up here knows about Hillside School archery program. They have won the state archery competition. That little bitty school beat out 20 other schools, and some of them have 1,000 students. This little elementary school beat out all of the middle schools. We have some girls down there. Don't get in front of them because you might not get away. We had one boy and three girls that took every individual in state, and the team took everything that they could in state. Unbelievable. They have two coaches, Larry Huddleston and Dan Hall, who are just exquisite with these children. There's 40 of them. They go in groups of 10 apiece to the line, pick their bow, get their arrows, and start in with all 15 arrows that they have. And the whistle blows, they step back, they get all their arrows, they bring them back, the next group steps up. They cannot be in this program unless they have exemplary grades and exemplary manners at all times. It is unbelievable. They do such a good job with the discipline with these kids. Even some of the grades have improved considerably because they don't want to miss their chance of taking this opportunity on Monday evening. It's about 3:30 in the afternoon until about 5:30 every single Monday they have practice. They did a fantastic job. We have to give them a big hand, a big congratulations. This is just a little bitty community with only 40 kids involved. It was great. The second thing I wanted to say is, oh boy, the fire department is starting to install our new fire and smoke detectors. Great. I got mine yesterday. Mike and Mike. So I'd like to thank this the opportunity that we had in this community to get that done for anybody that needed it or wanted it. It was nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Mm-hmm. Nicole Barr, come on down.
I want to be last, Mr. Chairman.
You want to be last?
Try to keep my earphones on and I hear what people are saying.
Okay.
Nicole Bard, Highlands resident. First question is, when we would like to go through the boxes in the building department to look for the, this is regarding the park fund, to start looking back through 1985 permits to test, to see, to sample if the fund had been collected then. So when can we be allowed access to those records?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. As you know, the building department is very minimally staffed at the moment, so we understand and we get public document requests all the time for large amounts of documents, and we've always been able to be accommodating over there. And usually what we'll do is we'll get a box at a time and, you know, schedule the time. If you could schedule the time with Dean and say, okay, can I be here on this day from this hour to this hour to look at box one, and then, you know, kind of spread it out a little bit, I know he'll be well accommodating for you.
Okay. So we understand completely that the county, everybody's strapped. So we'll do the work. You just point us at the shed. We'll go in there. We'll do that. So we appreciate that. So we can begin immediately.
Well, Stacy will have to be there with you. Somebody from the building department will have to be there with you while you.
We'll do it in the office.
Sure, everything
yeah.
stays where it's supposed to.
Absolutely.
Be.
No, we'll
make copies as you need things like that.
Mm-hmm,
but you would have the opportunity to go through.
Okay, we're not files. Removing the records. Obviously,
correct.
We're going to sit in a closet if we have to. To go through
the show, and like a box out, and then you can go
perfect.
Through the box.
I think Mr. Gallagher wants to weigh in. I'm going to disagree with the process. Number one, this is the books of original record at that point in time. I think somebody in there, it's not going to be building stuff. It's going to be me. Because we're going to take a look at this thing. We first need to know what we're going to find. Okay. Once we've assembled what we're going to find, we're going to make sure that all of the records are there. The records are there. We're going to make an indication of where the audit is going to proceed or not. And that's fine. If you want to take a look at the records with me, that's fine. There's not going to be two people in there. I'm not going to have records destroyed. We're going to do this. I'm going to be there. We're going to go through this. If not together, they will review the process after I've gotten through with it. And that's my recommendation at this point. This is the only shot we got at this. So my recommendation is I'm going to get with Dean. We're going to see what is there. We're going to see how far back it goes.
We're going to make an audit determination as to what year we're going to start at. And if the Golden Group want to come by and take a look at all of the process that we've done, that's perfect. That's fine.
So you're concerned that if we were to do it first, that records might get destroyed?
Yeah.
We're concerned that if you do it first, records might get destroyed. So how do we get over that?
Where's the original recorder here? Now, this is...
But you didn't answer my... Wait a second.
I don't like the stuff.
No, 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 no.
You're not going to be digging in this.
You said you're afraid we'll destroy the records. We're afraid... So how do we get past that?
The audit process first.
I see. So...
You have a problem with that?
Yeah, I do.
Why?
We would like to be there with you when you go through the records the first time. Don't need to.
No, I don't need to.
Ah, okay, well.
This is a process that we need to go through. As with any audit process, if we take a look and see what's there, Dean and I, if you don't trust Dean and I, shame on you.
You just said you thought we would destroy the records.
We're going to try and find out, number one, if the records are there. We're going to try and disseminate what is really there. We'll spread it all out, take a look at it. We'll have it there. We'll do what we can do with that at that point in time. The Golden Group want to come in, that's fine.
Mr. Chairman. Go ahead. I'll keep it real quick. Ms. Bard, I understood, and perhaps Mr. Gallagher, I could be corrected, that you were simply asking for a public document request to look at building files, and that's it.
We are interested in looking for building permits as far back as they go to see when on the building permits or other records the 250 had started to be collected so that we know when to start the clock on the money.
Well,
and the
I
interest.
Think the ordinance says it's a brand new ordinance and it started in 1992.
No. There was an NRS in effect.
That's what it says.
Bill, read the packet that Dave sent out.
I read it.
Okay. There was an NRS in effect prior to 92, which said that whether by ordinance or not, if a county is collecting a park fund, that a if collecting fees, that it be treated in a park fund with interest. Okay. The 1987 NRS was included in the packet he sent you. So it doesn't start in 92.
Duke indicated that he'll take a look at it, and that'll resolve it.
We're showing here that in 1992, that ordinance 133 was initiated, going ahead and adding the $250 residential construction tax. Right.
There's an NRS in effect prior to that.
But just because there was an NRS, if there wasn't a county ordinance to go along with it, it probably wouldn't have been done.
Yeah.
Please read the 87 NRS that was included in the packet. I think the language is fairly clear. So just look at it.
This is not all about the Pulfork. As I mentioned before, it's also the Ogden Mark and the Virginia City stuff. I'd like to get this formatted and at least to the point where we can now have a start date of when this happened. The Cole can verify everything that I've done. That's fine. Come on that. Then we will go forward, and then hopefully we can gather the information that will be appropriate. That when we started, hopefully we go through every single one of Dave Thomas's stuff, and if it's there, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I need to take a look at it and go through it and have my audit steps there. Prior to any review and documentation.
Good enough, because this is our last shot to get the correct information, since the documents from the recorder's office are no longer in the recorder's office.
Okay.
Press on.
Second item I have is, last meeting I asked a question, since there's rumors that Pat Whitten is going to be retiring, will you be posting the position? And the answer was, if that's protocol, so yes, we will. What I'd like to add further to that question and request is that it's a key position, and usually and most often in key positions, what you do is you begin to look for the person prior to the incumbent's leaving. You know when the person that's incumbent is going to be leaving. You start a search. My request is that the commissioners, as a governance board, seriously consider actually beginning a professional search for a county manager. I don't know that appointing somebody to that position from the internal ranks is the right thing to do. I don't know that appointing somebody to that position that has had office, held office in this county is also right or wrong either. What I do know is the recent events, both the park fund FUBAR, screwed up with where are the funds, there are no records, we owe you nothing, even if you have $100,000, you're not going to get it. I think that that is an indication, along with other areas where NRS either wasn't understood or wasn't followed by leadership or management in the county, may point to the need to bring in an external person that has done this job before, that can also bring different, better, new processes on how to do things for the county. We're entering into a phase for our county that's very complex. It's been getting more and more complex year after year after year. And I think that there are plenty of people out there who have solid experience in where we're going, who have been to where we're going, that can help us get there with the minimum amount of pain and stress.
First thing is, Nicole, first of all, we need to have notice that we're going to have someone departing before we start looking.
That's fine.
To replace.
That's fine.
So
I'm just saying.
So in any event, I don't vote by quarter milk, but I don't need a quarter milk, okay? So let's wait till we get to that point.
Okay.
Second of all, and the insinuation that the current staff is responsible for the stuff that happened years ago, we can't be responsible for what other department heads or other commissioners did years ago. We can try to remedy those things now, but I'm not going to take responsibility, and neither are these gentlemen, on something that was mixed up years ago before we had anything to do with it, whether it be the park fund or anything else, or lost files. So we'll try to do the best we can and remedy those things now. And if there's an opportunity for someone to move internally when someone leaves, that'll be looked at as well as looking outside. But we're not going to go out and do any legwork now if we don't think it's necessary.
Okay, I'm just saying that at such point as the announcement, if it comes, does come, and hopefully it gives you the time to be able to do that, that you do it.
Yeah. Well, and if we don't keep our public comments shorter, we're going to have to start using the clock again.
Okay, use the clock. I've got one last thing. One last time, I objected to this last year. I would object to it again this year. I object to the Jeep Posse getting any money from the county. They're still not a 501c3. They still discriminate against women. Because they have not been a 501c3, they have a tax liability for having operated as a for-profit organization, which is going to create a financial mess for them. And again, I want to launch my objection to them receiving any funds from this county.
Noted. Thank you. Kay Dean, you wanted to go last, Mr.
Green. I did, yes. Did I take it? Can we take a bathroom break? I never run down here.
Well, we've only got three people left. Can you hang on?
I'll stay.
Kay Dean, Highland, Virginia City Highlands resident. I would like to reiterate basically what Nicole said. And if you think about the county manager, I just pointed out how this commission was in error with NRS with your infrastructure project. You do not have a date where these are going to be completed. So perhaps people that are in this county maybe promoting from internally isn't adequate because things are getting missed. So I think maybe a professional search for an outside manager, if we do lose ours, would be advantageous. And I have looked at the job descriptions in Washoe County and Douglas County. They consider this a critical and the most important position in the county for anyone to have. The other thing is the Jeep Posse. I actually started looking at this and received a copy of a report and was quite discouraged that we have and I object to the county spending any more money with them ever until their books are cleaned up. Our current comptroller of this county is a director. For 2010, for example, two-thirds of the expenses that the Jeep Posse had no documentation attached. There was no documents. They just spent $15,000, or I can't remember, I don't have my documents, but it was exactly or roughly two-thirds of the money that they spent. They had no backup for it. This is extremely disturbing. As a former accountant myself, you get backup. And as a
Would you answer the question, please?
What?
I was asking you how'd you get your hands on those records? If this is a private organization, how did you guys acquire these documents?
They're public records. I asked for them 2 years ago and got them.
And honestly, if the county is giving money to a group that can't document two-thirds of its expenses, if our federal government was doing this...
Maybe a possible criminal violation. I don't know.
This would be, everyone would be outraged if two-thirds of the money that an organization spent was not documented. And until the records can be accurately brought up to date, you don't round expenses when you do a ledger. I have an accounting degree. I mean, I was honestly appalled at some of
Ms.
the...
Ms. Dean, they're not a county organization.
Pardon me?
They're not a county organization.
No, I understand that. But for the county to give money to anyone who cannot document their expenses is, as an accountant, as a taxpayer, I'd rather have my money going to the senior center.
Why do they have to document their expenditures if they are a private organization?
Then why are we giving them money?
Because we have a contract with them.
No, we don't. Let's see it. Can I have a copy of the contract then? I would like, I don't know. This is all new for me. And I don't know how to go about, can I get a copy of this contract then? How do I go about doing that? Can someone guide me? No one?
Public comments, not question and answer, but thank you.
Can I fit one more thing?
Sure.
I'm sorry, Nicole, the first thing you were discussing, I didn't make a note on it that you were objecting to. Oh, the park fund. I actually am quite concerned about it, and I think you should have multiple people there looking at the records at the same time.
We are.
Hugh is concerned about us looking at them, and I honestly am concerned about Hugh looking at them without having someone else there. So you will give me, this commission will give me their word that...
We are looking at the park fund thing. Many of us are looking at it. And whatever the dollar amount comes out to is what it comes out to. If
okay.
we overpay, we're in violation of the law. If we underpay, we're in violation of the law. The only figure that you're going to get to work with is the true number, what is actually legally due.
I understand that, and that's why these documents are so critical. So, and I was surprised when Hugh said that he contacted Well, Maggie Lothar did not give him a schedule when he came into office, because Maggie Lothar was retired and had been for many years by that point in time. So going to a retired former employee to get a schedule doesn't even make sense. And so I would have thought you would have gone to the current recorder at that time,
which the county commissioners.
I would have thought that he would have gone to the current recorder at that time, which was Sarah Jensen. And it is my understanding, and perhaps you'll need to bring every individual involved in to get their take on this, but I have heard quite certainly that a schedule was given to Mr. Gallagher by the recorder's office when he did take office.
Can we move on, please?
Thank you.
Thank you. Gunther? 2 o'clock. Good. Board of Equalization.
I'll be here too.
Well, this is going to run right into that.
So. I want to keep going.
Hello, Gunther Prosser from the River District, and I would just like, for the record, to volunteer to be the contact person for when you go through the boxes on the park fund building permit receipts. So I'll go ahead and volunteer for that position for the Lewis Perry Park. And also a suggestion, maybe if the sheriff would like, or a deputy, be with Mr. Gallagher or Mr. Austin or Nicole or myself, whenever anybody goes in to look at those records, that may alleviate the problem that we have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Sheriff, should I turn it down?
Well, not
Mark,
yet.
Mark wanted to talk again.
Mark comes up.
Okay. Mark, hey, Mark, that's what you're saying.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. In the minutes of the February 18th, 2014 meeting, which you approved today, I noticed that Tahoe Reno Industrial Center LLC is now licensed to do business in Story County. I appreciate that, you know. I noticed that Ms. Sherry Nevin is community service officer, right? And I think she'll do a great job. I think cutting down Danny's hats is a great idea. In regards to outside legal counsel, there is Attorney General opinion that allows the district attorney, at his with his approval and his consent, to have you with them. So, you know, as long as the attorney or the district attorney approves, I approve. I'm sorry about that. And
I'm announcing now I'm leaving in January, so if you want to do a search for a new DA, please have at it.
And in regards to the request for public records, what I'm running into is I believe the best way for me to ask for public record, audio, visual, audio, large amounts of data, I believe I need to purchase the thumb drive, 4 gig, 8 gig. You know, I might have to spend $10 or $20, but it turns out it's the easiest way for staff to download information, and they will not take a strange thumb drive and put it into the county's computer. So I need to be prepared to buy packaged USB thumb drives. So maybe the conversation can start with the IT tech and different departments, how the public can handle this. Maybe these USB thumb drives could be available for a fee. Thank you.
Thanks. Mr. Beach.
Am I here at HR, Mr. Dragon? Oh, I got to hear myself now.
I spent so much time criticizing my government, I'd like to take a little time to go the other way. I'm impressed with one elected official in our county, totally impressed, Mr. Sheriff. I've watched him work. I met him when he was campaigning last year. I didn't even know him to land when he came into the office last time. I met him on the campaign trail. I think he's a great guy, and I'm going to do everything I can to help him get elected. Talking about changing county managers, we don't need a county manager. We need you three guys to step up and do your work and split all that BS that the county manager's made of himself into three pieces and go that way. Lance could run this county 1 hour a goddamn day by himself and still do all of his TRI business, okay? So we don't need to spend that money. Let's spend it down there. And Lance's committee down there, put a five people committee together. You guys rubber stamped it. It ain't going good for them. They're not getting all well with the people. And somebody needs to look into that. The last meeting they had, there was four cars there. They got five members. Unless they're carpooling, they wasn't even showing up at their own meetings. And they are hard-headed, and they don't want to treat people right. And the next issue is the committees. I see these people on these committee reports. You accept them. I don't know how to get on there as a committee. I've been the chairman of the 517 Mark Twain Committee since January 92. Now, how do I get on the committee? Now, I've got myself elected, and I'm a chairman of the Mark Twain Improvement and Beautification Committee. And I have issues, and these guys from Mark Downey, they two of them drive up there, they can talk any meeting there is, and I can't get on the committee. I want to give reports, and I can't. So you people are discriminating against me because I'm older, because I'm don't fit into your thing, and you know, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, but why can't I have my say too every meeting for my committees? I got two committees down there, and one of them, we're drawing up charges now against all these people that are pigs down there, okay? and we're going to present it to her, and I'll have to be taking the blame, because a lot of people are afraid of their neighbors. And being a man that's in possession of a weapons permit, I'm not afraid of my neighbors. So I can take the blame for all this. There's going to be about 25, and I'd like you guys to talk about making Mr. Bill, he's maybe going to run for reelection, why can't he be the inner man to get Mark Twain cleaned up? Don't we have a right to be like everybody else in this county, for Christ's sake? Oh, well, the lady said, oh, he's a pain in the butt. You know what she did whenever she left the meeting? She went down and put a for sale sign on her house. She don't like Mark Twain no more.
Maybe she just doesn't like her neighbor.
Probably didn't like, oh, yes, and remember, my goddamn place looks like a
morgue. You got to stop swearing.
She said it didn't. Well, I couldn't hear last time. I'd only get my things away. She says, you've got to stay here, Mr. Beach, and answer my questions. So dutifully, I sat down, you know. And they said he said she was on her lunch break. And I agree, she probably takes two or three lunches a day.
My clock broke today.
So you guys work on this. And hey, let's keep this going till 2 o'clock. We're going to have another meeting here. And we're going to talk about this morgue, and I'm going to quit swearing, too. But could you move this thing over here a little bit, yeah, you know, some way, so no man could, you know, hang on and stuff, because it's dangerous.
You know, better shout out the camera for you being on
the camera. The camera, okay. And I asked him for some records, and you people are seem to be not wanting me to see the phone bills, okay?
That's me.
Okay, that's the district attorney. He's been to court, and then the Supreme Court overruled him and says, if the county pays for a phone bill, I've got a right to look at it.
You do.
I want to see it. August the 13th, I want to see it. Okay, he's too busy. He's too busy. Mr. Beach can't see the phone bills. Well, I haven't got one thing this year, so I should be getting these on the free. And I want those phone bills. Everybody that's got a phone bill that we pay, I want to look at. Take your hat off, Mr. Chairman. Christ, you're in the house.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll see you at 2 o'clock. My first duty.
I can hardly wait.
We can hardly wait, Dale.
Any other public comments?
Oh, boy.
Move for adjournment.
Go.
We're done.
Do that like the